want to say thank you for the worship team for lifting up the Lord, allowing us to focus on Him this morning. I also want to say thank you, you know, from a, I guess, a spectator or a, somebody in the crowd, for those of you that helped out with the pageant. I mean, it was just amazing. And, you know, that story doesn't ever get old. It just, and the way that you guys did that, we had our older two children were in that. And I also appreciate the way that that you, you know, kind of interacted and helped the young kids and put up with them and all that. But they enjoyed it, and it's a ministry. I mean, that's amazing. And, you know, my wife the second day had to give up her seat. It was standing room only. It was packed, and it was just amazing. You guys did a wonderful job, and I really appreciate it. I think we have no idea how big of a ministry that is. People will think about that. I can tell you our kids will think about that. Remember the pageant, we used to do this, and they'll remember you and your stories. Speaking of remembering, and I was thinking about the, you know, the our little books that we have, the, what do we call them, the handbooks, or with the pictures of the students. And I was thinking, you know, looking back on some of them from previous years, and you look at them, you're like, man, where is this person? Where is this person? And you start to look through, and you realize, man, we missed having them on campus, and we miss, you know, enjoying what they bring and what they did. And so we do appreciate that you are here, and we want to take time to just recognize today our seniors. Dr. Fraser is going to help lead into this time, and we want to start off with them, and then kind of as a way to reflect and really tie up this semester, we want you to feel free to have some time to share as the Lord directs this morning. So let's have Dr. Fraser come on up.
Sometimes the seniors that graduate in December just kind of disappear into the sand or something, and we never get a real chance to recognize them or say goodbye to them. These four will all be back for spring graduation. I'm looking forward to that. This is kind of a bittersweet time every time we graduate students, because it's so exciting to see what you're going to do and what God's putting on your life and where you're going to end up. And we see you, you know, in ministry down the road, but not to have you here to bug you and, you know, make you stay up late and write papers, it just goes, you know, makes our hearts sad. So we are going to miss these individuals, but I did not want them to slip through our fingers without us recognizing them today. So what I've asked them to do is just to give a reflection of kind of how God got them here. And I had my faculty advisor in my doctoral program told me that, you know, it's not the brightest people that get degrees, it's the most determined. So here's the most determined right here. And we want to celebrate that with them. So I've asked them to give a little reflection of kind of the journey that got them here. And then I've asked them to just open the door to what God's revealed for them in the next few weeks, months or so. And then at the end of that, we're going to just set the pace to let you share some things that are on your heart as we kind of conclude this final chapel of the year. I'm going to do this. I'm sure Jill Bainey has spent her whole educational career being first because she has a last name that starts with B. So I thought I'm going to give her a break, and I'm going to start at the other end. And so we're going to start with Nash, and we're going to move back through the alphabet that way. Jill gets to stand here and get nervous longer. So Nash is receiving his Bachelor of Arts degree in Psychology and Family Studies and Bible. Nash, share with us.
All right. I'm also getting that in theology. Like you said, I'm Nash. I'm up here because I am a graduating senior. I'm watching pictures of myself. God called me here about 6 years ago, 5 or 6 years ago. I haven't been here that long, but He called me to be an English teacher overseas, and so I just started looking around for a school that would help me get there. And so I showed up and talked to Glenn, and he's like, oh, well, you should do theology. So I did, and I've really enjoyed it. And then as I was taking classes with Lois, I began to felt really inclined towards psychology, so I started praying about that. And two summers in, I added psych as a major, and it has now become my more prominent major. As far as what I'm wanting to do after I graduate, I will go be an overseas English teacher somewhere. God hasn't told me where or when or how long, so that's still up in the air, and I'm excited to see what he has planned for me in that area. And then I will hopefully go on to, I will go on to get my master's and doctorate in probably counseling, individual and family therapy. As far as the immediate future, I plan on sticking around here, hopefully getting a job at the Iroquois Center, and I'm throwing every spare piece of change I get at student loans, and then I will let God do what he has. So that's what I'm doing. Thanks.
The next graduate is Sue Merritt. I know Sue's going to stay around because Jeannie's threatened her on her life to not leave the kitchen. But anyway, Sue is graduating with a Bachelor of Arts in Pastoral Ministries and Bible. Sue, come share with us.
Do I need to put this down? I don't need a microphone. Well, I've been on the ministry track since December of 2000 when God called me to preach his word, not to be afraid to preach his word and feed his sheep. Now, I seriously thought feed his sheep was spiritually because I was not a cook. But he made me a cook. Go figure. But there was a pastor that came to Longwa for 2 years, and he had graduated in 1975 from Berkeley. And he told me, you need to go to Berkeley. What's Berkeley? It's a college. I'm not going to college. Yeah, you need to go to Berkeley College. Well, a few years later, the seed was planted then, and a few years later, after I was a lay pastor, I realized, you know what? I think I need to go to college. I don't think I know as much as I thought I did. So, August of 2007, I came to college. But I didn't come calmly. I came kicking and screaming. I prayed for months. God, are you sure you want me in college in Kansas? And every door shut. Except for Berkeley. So if I'm here, this is the only door that was open. There must be a good reason for it to be that way. But I'm telling you, the second week of school, I thought I was out of my ever-loving mind. I thought, I am quitting. I'm leaving. I cannot do this. General psych drove me insane. No offense, Lois, if you're out there. Oh, hi, Lois. But seriously, if God had to send me to college, this was the perfect college to send me. Nobody else in the world would have put up with me. The professors, the staff, the students, they have all given me so much love and encouragement, and they have helped me every step of the way. Even when I'm screaming in their class, I hate college! I don't have to do this! I can quit! I'm old! The first semester of college, I did a PowerPoint presentation on non-traditional students. 70% of non-traditional students over the age of 35 drop out of college. After the age of 35. And you know me, I gotta go against the flow. I had to be in the 30%. I just couldn't handle the 70. And when I got here, there's no Sonic. What is up with this? I have to drive 20 miles one way to go to Sonic. When God said he will water you in a desert place and you will bloom, I guess Sonic ain't supposed to be in the desert. That was one of the biggest sacrifices. I went to Sonic. I drove 8 miles, 2, 3, 4 times a day. And now, I didn't even go to Sonic when I go to Pratt. Desert place. But let me tell you, even if you come from a big town or you come from a small town, and you may think this is a desert place, you may think this is a wilderness, but God will shape you and mold you, and he will help you to become the person, the man or woman that God desires for you to be. Not what your family desires for you to be, not what you desire to be, but what God desires for you to be. This is the place. Away from all the fun, away from all the crowds and all the temptation, in a place where you can sit at Jesus' feet. When they tell you you need to take a Sabbath day, they're not joking. I fought it. Trust me, I fought it. I'm a workaholic. I go all the time. One day off, are you crazy? I needed to sit at Jesus' feet. I was so busy working for God that I didn't have time to be with God. And when I got here, I had to slow down. And I had to be with God. And I had to sit at Jesus' feet. Because trust me, I have prayed more since I've been in college for 4.5 years than I have ever prayed in my entire life. God, get me through this! Still praying. As far as my future plans, I do not have a clue. But God does know my plan, his plans for me. And I know they're for good. They're not for evil. And he knows how I am, and I know how he is. So I'll learn one baby step at a time. And he knows that drives me insane, too. But let me tell you, this is the best experience I've ever had.
You ought to see her in the pulpit.
Yeah. I want a diet now.
For the rest of you, you have to find out what that little bargaining was about in the kitchen. The next graduating senior, is Erica Klein, and Erica is graduating with a Bachelor of Arts in Missions and Bible. Erica, come talk to us.
Well, it's hard to follow Sue, that's for sure. But I'm just going to tell you a little bit about how I decided to come to Barclay and kind of what God's taught me and all of that as well. So I came to Barclay in January of 2009. After transferring from a community college just a little outside of Kansas City. My intentions at that community college were to pursue an American Sign Language interpreting degree, but God definitely changed my heart. I went to a summer camp and worked on staff there the summer before I came to Barclay, and that's where I was kind of introduced to Barclay College through Sam Richter, for some of you who know her. And God just kind of reoriented my life into charging me to pursue missions like he had encouraged me to do when I was in sixth grade. So I came to Barclay January of 2009. The day I arrived on campus was the day I found out that one of my good friends had passed away in a motorcycle accident. And so it was really hard to come here into a new place and have that in the back of my mind. And so I stepped into Barclay with this missions degree, and with the goal of that, and I went to my first Prosperly class. It was my first class at Barclay. And so I received my syllabus, and I looked at it, and I was just like, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? Like, this is ridiculous. But I was walking out of the library, and Romans 11:29 just popped in my head, and that says that the gifts and calling of the Lord are irrevocable. And so I was kind of walking back to the dorm just thinking about how I couldn't get out of this one, and that God was serious when he said that I had to do this missions program. So, yeah. So here at Barclay, I've had a lot of amazing opportunities. Through Barclay, I've had the opportunity to go to Ireland to spend 6 weeks working with a mission there. And also, through the generous people, probably even some of you, here at Barclay, God provided for me to go to Zambia and to do ministry there for 3 weeks in July of 2010. So here at Barclay, I've not only had these amazing opportunities, but I've also experienced a lot of God's faithfulness and God's provision and his love. I kind of came from a more legalistic background, and I came into Barclay thinking that I had to please God with what I did and how I could strive to gain his favor. But when I started coming to Barclay, I realized that there was this renewed sense of his love, and I started realizing that it's not about what I do, but it's about what he's done and what he's doing in me, and that I can find acceptance no matter what I do, whether it's my best or it's my worst. So in that, I've learned to depend on the Lord in everything. And it's been hard. Like, there's been lots of ups and downs here at Barclay, but I've been realizing and learning about God's love, the importance of relationships, and how we can't neglect those. And we have to be about being open to whatever God has us to do. And though I wanted to pursue sign language and go that route, I'm really glad that the Lord enabled me to be obedient and to have the faith to trust that he's going to provide and he's going to do what he has. So I'm really thankful for this season of life here at Barclay. And one of the verses that I learned in Prosperly's class my first semester here has just kind of stuck with me these whole 3 years. And it's in Psalm 126. It says, "He who goes out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with him." And as I thought about this during my time at Barclay, I just see that sometimes we can come with burdens and we can come just really depressed and sorrowful. But God blesses our pain, and God uses those hard times to bring a harvest, to bear fruit in our lives. So that's kind of what I've learned at Barclay. My future plans is next Saturday I'm getting married to Jacob Zerger. For you who don't know, Jacob went here, and I met him here, so God's doubly blessed me in that sense. So yeah, that's the plan. He has a year left of his intercultural studies major at Calvary Bible College, and we're going to be living up there until he finishes, and then we will hit the mission field. That's all.
Jill Bainey is graduating a Bachelor of Science in Psychology and Family Studies and Bible. And Jill, come share.
Okay, I came to Barclay the fall of 2009, and I was a transfer student. I came across Barclay online when I was looking for a school with a psychology program, because that's what I planned to major in. It's what I did major in. I guess I'm gonna talk about my future plans first. I am going to get my master's degree after Barclay, so I will be starting grad school in a couple months. So kind of excited about that, kind of not. when I think about my journey at Barclay, I had 5 semesters here. 5 things come to mind. And they are growth, letting go, healing, new perspectives, and trust. And I was thinking about these the other day, and I realized that they all connect. And it was really neat for me to see that. I feel like God has grown me a lot during my time here, and it's not always been easy. Letting go sometimes can be painful, but through that, God shows his healing, and it's been really amazing. And from that, I have gained new perspectives on who God is, what he means in my life, on my relationship with him, and just how that affects everything and the importance of it. And out of all of that, I've been given the ability to trust God more. That's been one thing that has sometimes been, or a lot of the times, been a struggle for me, is just to be able to trust God with everything. When things don't seem to work out, and when my plans fail. But I've been able to see during my time here just how he has come through, and even though my plans might fail, he has another plan, and his plans are better than mine. And I still have a long ways to go, you know, in my journey with all of these things, but it's nice to be able to see the progress that I've made during these last 5 semesters. And so I guess some of the ways that Barclay has had the biggest effect on these areas for me have been through classes, but beyond that, through chapel, through Bible studies, through prayer groups, and just through friends. I really feel blessed to have some of the friends that I do here. The support, the encouragement, the prayers, the honesty, and just the friendship that I've received from my closest friends here has been amazing. And there are things that I will take with me and treasure. So I would just like to say thank you to everyone who has had a part in that, and thank you for sharing life with me during my time here. Then I have one last thing I would just like to say to everyone who is still somewhere along their journey here at Barclay. I would just encourage you to let God really grow you. Let him really stretch you. Let him move you out of your comfort zone. A lot of you probably know that this is putting me out of my comfort zone. but it's good. But just let him do that. Be open to it. Don't fight it. I won't say that it'll always be easy, and I can't say that it won't hurt sometimes, but I can say that it will be worth it. So thank you.
As I reflected on this group and wanted to say something just collectively to them, certainly as I thought about what I would say to these four individuals, any one of them could have changed that, how I might have made these kind of closing statements to you. But you have really represented Jesus well here, and we are going to miss your quick smiles and your affirmation and your care of each one of us. You are warm people who just show Jesus over and over again to us, and I am so happy that you will walk out of here being representatives of this college, but more importantly, what God's done in your life. You really do reflect that, and I mean that sincerely. You are special, special people, and you'll be missed here, so thanks for being a part of us. I want to give opportunity for us to spend a moment to reflect on this semester and this last chapel. We're going to sit down, and we're just going to spend some time quietly here. But if there's something you'd like to share as you kind of close out this semester or head into the holidays and head into what God has for you next, this mic is open, or there's a hand mic down here you can pick up, and I'd invite you to come up here so everybody can hear you, and let's just spend some time celebrating how God's walked with us over the past 4 months. He's done some special things in this place, on our campus, and in each one of your lives. So you just be faithful, and if God nudges you and elbows you out of your seat and up here, be faithful to him, okay? And thank you, seniors, and congratulations.
there's a deep message in me that I've come to over many, many years, and it grows deeper and deeper. And that is a whole message of letting our lives speak. And I love that, what emerges in a person who has the gift of teaching, and in teaching in English, and how that will continue to make its way into speaking loudly in a cross-cultural setting. I love that sense. And as Jill talks about coming out of her comfort zone, and maybe public speaking isn't your long-term plan, but maybe it is. But the larger thing is to be able to be present with people in a counseling or psychological setting, wherever that will go, is a powerful means of letting your life speak. And Sister Sue, who is a growing complement of Brother Lawrence, just a powerful person that began to practice the presence of God in the place of service. And wow, what a powerful way to let your life speak in service to so many people. And as that emerges in a pulpit, so your disposition is you're in the pulpit all the time just because of your giftedness. I mean, those around you know of your heart and God's call. And Erica, your sense of moving into a place of knowing God's favor and God's love, and being able to translate into that into a cross-cultural setting. It's just been amazing to hear your story. And even today, that story is still rich and still speaks. And you're a person that's on a journey. And how fun, how exciting to know that richness. And the challenge, Jill, that you left with all of us here, to continue to be about allowing those rough places to be shaven off. And maybe we don't have a Sonic. And part of me says that's a really good thing, because it forces us to be in community with one another and allow those edges to be roughed off that many people run off to entertainment, Sonics, whatever the case may be. And this is a powerful place. And so I've been very enriched by all of your letting your life speak. And the exciting thing is, I think what Royce said, that you become Jesus, in a sense, in who you are, because that's who he's making you.
Most of you guys know about Alina and about her heart, and I was just wondering if you guys would be willing to lay your hands on her and pray for her, because she's going to be having surgery next Thursday. So I just was wondering if some of you would come and pray for her.
Want to thank you for just being faithful and for all that you've shared today. And it's been a great time this morning. I want to give you a little update on Steve Teeter. Many of you know Steve Teeter's on staff, and they've been keeping a journal kind of about their process. It says, "Today marks a month now since we left Haviland to come to Wichita for Steve's final round of chemo and stem cell transplant. The rebound in white blood cell counts and other numbers show that this stem cells have grafted and been a success, and we praise the Lord for this huge step. This trip hasn't been without its bumps along the way, and to be stretched is an understatement. Steve had his trach placed yesterday, and it was a rough day with recovery, but is now resting well. The ventilator was in long enough, however, to cause pneumonia, so he is on an antibiotic, and also that he's still wrestling with the meningitis that is present. So your continued prayers are appreciated, and this is a very critical time. So as you remember him, continue to pray for their family, and like I said, they're in Wichita, and just be thinking about them as well. So let's continue to pray for both of these prayer requests over the break, and I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. Hope and pray that we can take the gift of Christ and the life that he brings into the family and friends situations and the community situations that we go to. So be blessed, and look forward to next semester.